Chinese nationals have just been charged by US authorities with smuggling a deadly crop-destroying pathogen into the country. I'll tell you why this is such a big deal. Because this little fungus isn't just a farmer's nightmare. It's also labeled in US scientific literature as a potential agro-terrorism weapon. This fungus wipes out wheat, maize, rice, and barley. It causes food shortages, poisons grain, and can lead to vomiting, liver damage, also reproductive issues in both humans and livestock. And then enter Yunqing Jian and Zunyong Liu. A couple, yes, but also allegedly part of a plot to smuggle this pathogen into a University of Michigan lab where Jian worked and Liu visited under the radar. The US FBI says the two were working on the fungus with electronic proof that Jian was receiving funding from the Chinese government. She's also allegedly linked to the Chinese Communist Party. The allegations? Smuggling, visa fraud, false statements, and conspiracy. But the bigger concern, that a university lab in America's heartland may have been used as the testing ground for something that can cripple a nation's food supply. In fact, a US attorney didn't mince his words, calling this a grave national security threat. And with the Trump administration already cracking down on Chinese student visas, this case is only adding fuel to a fiery geopolitical storm. China, meanwhile, says this is all exaggerated. The US says it's infiltration. Many, meanwhile, are questioning whether science has gone rogue or whether this is something far more sinister. And what does this mean for global lab collaborations, even here in India? Well, one fungus, two researchers, billions at stake.
Sandy Rios with you, and that's kind of a bleak report from NTD. They follow China very closely. See, this is ironic because we have President Trump's economic team. They've been working in London the last several days trying to negotiate with China on a trade agreement. So when we hear this talk about trade agreement and buying their goods, and we think of all the things that China is doing to bring harm to us, does it make sense? And why would we be doing that? Well, we're going to talk about that today with a China expert, and I think you'll find it enlightening. And it's important because these are the things that I don't think our news explain very well. You get bits and pieces, but I'm hoping by the time you finish listening to this, you'll have a better understanding of what's actually happening with China and us and this particular agreement. So stay tuned. Nearly 11% of women who have taken a chemical abortion pill in recent years have experienced a serious adverse health event, such as infection, hemorrhage, or sepsis. And that's according to a report from the Foundation for the Restoration of America. And they had a team of board-certified OBGYN clinicians comb through more than 865,000 claims related to chemical abortions between 2017 and 2023 and found that at least 10.9% resulted in a serious adverse health event. I just want you to know how serious the abortion pills are. So-called pills are to women, to your children, to your sisters and mothers and daughters. So that's why Preborn has taken on this whole challenge. They are able to give women who've been so deluded as to take this first pill, if they come to the clinic before they take the second one, they can often reverse the killing of the baby. Really, is what it is. The first pill kills the baby; the second one expels. So a Preborn has taken a proactive response to this, for which I'm so grateful, because these chemical abortions are accounting for something like 70% of abortions now. It's really outrageous. And we don't hear the stories because it's politically incorrect to report it. So if you'd like to help Preborn, the other thing they do, as you all know if you listen to this show, is that they provide ultrasounds for moms who are pregnant and considering terminating their pregnancy. And once they see their baby, they almost all of them decide to keep the baby. It's pretty powerful. It's just God, you know. It's just technology and God. And so if you'd like to help, it's $28 for one ultrasound. And, of course, the other thing I mentioned, their attack against this abortion pill, the way of saving the babies and the mom and the moms too. If you want to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, this is Sandy Rios, and again, you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7. You could call us at 662-821-2040. We love to hear from you. We record those messages, and if we can, we use them on the air. So And it's we're looking for comments from you or criticisms. Happy to have that. If you like something, we'd love to hear that too. Call 662-821-2040. Also, you can write us at sandy@afr.net. sandy@afr.net. Your comments we often use then. Not all of them. We can't use all of them, but I do read them. We use them on the air and kind of have a day where we chat about those. So I really, and also just I appreciate your input. You can listen to us on any podcast platform, AmericanFamilyRadio.net, AFR.net. It's home base, American Family Radio, but any podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, whatever you're accustomed to using, we're there. And we're also available on all the social media platforms, from Telegram to Instagram to Facebook to YouTube. And YouTube, maybe not so much because we don't do video. Why don't I do video? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to put my makeup and fix my hair every day when I talk to you about these topics. I'm an old radio host who likes to put pencils through their hair and scratch and wave my hands wildly into the air. And so if I had to be on video, that wouldn't be pretty. And that's why I'm not on video. So we are actually doing things on camera because I've been doing a lot of Newsmax appearances, just so you know. So if you want to find me and, you know, when I'm not pulling my hair and waving my hands madly, I'm on Newsmax 1 and 2 pretty often these days. And I think you can find some of my stuff there. So meanwhile, today we're talking all about China, the trade deal versus the danger of China on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Beijing is credibly preparing to potentially use military force to alter the balance of power in the Indo-Pacific. We know, it's public, that Xi has ordered his military to be capable of invading Taiwan by 2027. The PLA is building the military needed to do it, training for it every day, and rehearsing for the real deal. Admiral Paparo has spoken very clearly about this on multiple occasions. Again, to be clear, any attempt by Communist China to conquer Taiwan by force would result in devastating consequences for the Indo-Pacific and the world. NATO members are pledging to spend 5% of their GDP on defense, even Germany. So it doesn't make sense for countries in Europe to do that while key allies in Asia spend less on defense in the face of an even more formidable threat, not to mention North Korea. China envies what we have together, and it sees what we can collectively bring to bear on defense. But it's up to all of us to ensure that we live up to that potential by investing.
All right, that's the voice familiar now of Pete Hegseth. He is the new Secretary of Defense. He was testifying before Congress. And oh my goodness, the subject of China is as big as the country itself. Whether it's the threat from the military, the agro-terrorism, the infiltration of Chinese students, the stolen intellectual property, and, you know, that's just a headline. There's so much flesh on it. But because we are in the middle of trade talks with China, I thought we should have a good discussion about how we should feel about that, because I'm not sure how I should feel about that. And so I've asked an expert on China, Bradley Thayer. Bradley is a founding member of the Committee on Present Danger China and the co-author with Leon Chao Han of Understanding the China Threat, and also co-author with James Fennell of Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure. And he joins us today. Bradley, thanks for joining us. Thank you.
Well, it's my great pleasure to join you today.
Hey, just a personal question. Why the interest in China? Why are you so interested in China?
Because it's an existential threat. It's the Chinese Communist Party is determined to destroy the United States and our allies, and at root, freedom around the world. So the dispositive question of the 21st century is whether freedom is going to be able to be sustained, led by the United States and its allies around the world, or whether tyranny, as led by the Chinese Communist Party, will dominate international politics. We answered that question in the 20th century after tremendous bloodletting, after horrific wars. But the United States, with its allies, defeated Nazi Germany and fascist Italy and a militaristic Japan, and then the tyranny of the Soviet Communist Party, thankfully. But now we face new challenges, and that danger remains, whether a tyranny is going to dominate or whether freedom, our way of life, is going to dominate. So it matters for all every member of your audience, because the Chinese Communist Party is doing everything that they can do to attack the United States in all azimuths, and doing it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Brad, thank you for that. This is a similar question, but you know, we could say this about probably, well, to some degree, about Iran, about North Korea, about we have a lot of enemies. The EU maybe will add that to the list, but not so, you know, hands on in every area as China. There are a lot of people that want to destroy us. I guess my question before we get into the nuts and bolts is: can you quantify what danger China, in particular, poses to the United States? How, we know, quantify on a scale of 1 to 10 or some quantifiable description?
Certainly, if you want to quantify it on a 1 to 10 scale, it's an 11, right? Or okay. It's beyond the scale. And that's because the United States has, in essence, made the Chinese Communist Party its partner. And the Chinese Communist Party, working sadly in conjunction with many Americans, with Wall Street, Chamber of Commerce, have united to strengthen the Communist Party of China, grow the People's Republic of China's economy year after year, and this threat grew year after year. So in order to be an existential threat, two things are needed. One is the ideology. The ideology to attack the United States, to want to supplant our political system. Chinese Communist Party has had that since they came to power in 1949. They're communists, after all. Right? That's very important for the audience to remember. The second key component is power. They have to have capabilities. Now, in 1949, they were very weak. They didn't have much power at all. But 1990, for example, your audience should know that the People's Republic of China produced about 1.6% of world gross domestic product, whereas in today they produce about 18% of world gross domestic product. Wow. So that's about 1 in 5, if you will, of the world's economy. So they now have the power wedded to the ideology, and that makes them an existential threat in a way that other threats, Russia's nuclear weapons, for example, or Iran, simply are not, because they don't have the capabilities to harm us that the PRC does.
Let me ask you, Brad, this kind of, I think it was 80... No, it was 70-something when Richard Nixon opened up talks with China, and that was such a huge event because they had been... people don't know these things. That's why I'm saying, you can correct me from my own memory, but it was a huge, huge thing when Richard Nixon started to have talks with China, because they were, more than Russia, shut off from the rest of the world. And I guess, I'm guessing, Brad, that, you know, our big business interests, and I don't want to limit it to that, but there was a huge market over there, and I think that was probably the driver. But initially, you know, then in that ensuing, well, gosh, it's been 45 years or something like that since then, or more. other people came to power who were not like Mao Zedong, and they were not, you know, they were communists, but they didn't really reign as a communist ruler. People began to have freedom. That's when I was there. I was there. The last time I was in China was right at 9/11. I was actually stranded in China. That's a story for another day. But there was a certain freedom, and it seemed safe to do trade with them. Do you think that was intentional, that period of safety and non-threat and cooperation? Were the Chinese intentionally doing that to get us off our game in regard to our caution with them?
I think that's exactly right. When Richard Nixon went to China in February 1972, it made a lot of sense because the Chinese and the Soviets, although they were both communists, were enemies. And so there's an old dictum, of course, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So Nixon, for good balance of power politics reason, was going to China. After the Cold War ended, we should have asked the question, do we still need the People's Republic of China now that the Soviet Union has died? Instead, what happened was Deng Xiaoping, who was Chinese leader at the time, was one of the greatest strategists of the 20th century. And he recognized that he could use political warfare, he could use Western business interests to actually become a partner with the Chinese Communist Party for the reasons you identified, for investment, for manufacturing. And as a consequence, he could use their political power through also K Street, of course, in Washington and law firms, for example, to influence Congress. And thus what we saw was incredibly pernicious from the standpoint of the health of the United States and our body politic, but was supremely successful from Deng Xiaoping's point of view. China got richer year after year. In a relative sense, we got weaker year after year as we grew their economy and helped them. And so now here we are, where China was just a fraction of the world's gross domestic product, and now they are, by some accounts, the equal or the near equal of the American economy. So you can't blame your enemy for obviously doing everything he could do to hurt you.
No,
but
you know, that interesting.
There were a lot of folks who got rich on Wall Street and elsewhere.
Yes, and then Brad, then you know, we had this mantra about free trade. It was like, and everyone knows now, at least most people, that we moved businesses overseas. People started producing in China. It was a whole new market. And it just seems like things were humming along. Although I have to tell you, I never felt good about that. But neither did Donald Trump. And enter Donald Trump, who was the one person who always talked about how dangerous they were. And when he got into power in 2016, he actually did something about it. And can you remind us what happened with China and their footing in the world economically and every other way under that first 4 years of Donald Trump?
Sure. And you're exactly right. Trump saw the threat and he called attention to it. And he recognized, of course, that not only did that help China, the outsourcing, of course, of American manufacturing to the People's Republic of China, but it destroyed our communities. It made us vulnerable in so many ways, certainly in an economic sense, but also in, a spiritual sense, right? Or essentially the esprit de corps of the United States, where so many folks lost jobs and they turned to alcohol abuse or they turned to fentanyl and other opioids, right, supplied by the People's Republic of China, of course, because they want to weaken us. So they want to ensure that there's always a steady supply of opioids and other drugs entering the United States. So Trump called attention to it and reversed it. And it's no small, the COVID outbreak, of course, coming in 2019, of course, and then bursting on the world stage in 2020, right? Many suspect was not an accident that there was that lab leak to hurt Donald Trump. So we're seeing with the second Trump term, of course, the redoubling of so many of the successful policies of the first term. In February, your audience may recall, the Trump administration produced guidance in essence, discouraging investment, telling Wall Street and investment firms you should no longer invest in China, as well as calling attention to land purchases that the people's Chinese agents were using, of course, either directly or through American cutouts, were buying land, agricultural land in the United States, often near military bases, of course, and that was quite worrisome. So the Trump administration has taken, even in now just over 100 days, so many steps to build on their success of the first term. And so that's very positive development.
Yeah.
Trump, of all American presidents in the post-Cold War, truly sees the Chinese Communist Party as the threat it is, unlike, of course, Bill Clinton or George W. Bush or Obama, of course, or of Biden.
To go back to the COVID thing, I just want to, you know all of these things, Brad, but you're telling, the narrative is really strong, and I just want to make sure that, you know, when COVID and the vaccines and the face coverings, through all of that and the shutdowns, our economy was gutted. We were in such a strong economy under President Trump's leadership during that 2016 to 2020 term. And that was the other part of that attack, we believe, by China. It not only did it hurt Trump, but it hurt our economy. It hurt the American people. It was a gut punch. But I'm just curious about this, because as I recall, when Trump left office, China's GDP had diminished quite a bit. You don't have to remember numbers. I wouldn't expect that. But was that not true? His efforts before COVID, I guess, shrink their economy considerably?
Yes, it did, and China's economy is in trouble. They've got a lot of economic problems, but it's also important, and I'm glad you raised that point, because COVID also was what some folks have called the beta test, right? COVID showed us that it's not a good idea to have outsourced everything to China, including, as you said, personal protective equipment or PPE. As we found out then in pharmaceuticals, right, the active pharmaceutical ingredients, that folks may recall that China banned the export of PPE to the United States, right, during COVID.
That's right. I've forgotten that.
And we were terribly vulnerable as a consequence. Now we're seeing the same thing with respect to rare earth minerals, for example, the processing of rare earths, where we have a great dependence on the PRC for them, and they're using that. They're weaponizing that against us. So the folly of outsourcing American manufacturing to the People's Republic of China is really coming home to roost now, right? To mix metaphors, I think. But it's really coming home now in great force to the United States. It was the folly hurt us in every respect, in terms of the quality of life, in the spirit of the United States, our manufacturing capabilities. And we saw with COVID, and we're seeing with rare earths, that America needs to have manufacturing at home. And Peter Navarro, of course, has taken lead on this with Scott Bessent and so many others. But Trump is well aware of this and doing what he can to reverse the situation as rapidly as possible.
So the other interesting part, one of the many interesting parts, is that Xi Jinping really fell into, the Chinese people really turned against him after their horrible COVID lockdowns. I mean, I remember seeing, you probably saw these too, Bradley, these high-rise apartments, and we had audio from them. People were locked in their apartments because they didn't want to spread, the idea was not to spread COVID. And it didn't really matter, it seems to me, if they were positive. I don't know if there was a test or not, but there was their homes, and they couldn't get out. And you heard them crying and wailing. It would kind of echo in these high-rise apartments. That's just one illustration. He really cracked down, trying to have he had zero tolerance, I believe, for COVID, and or something to that effect. And the people really have turned against him, and the economy suffered after President Trump. So, this is a mystery to me. Now that the economy is booming, he's still not popular at home, is he, Xi Jinping?
He's not. But at the end of the day, he's a communist, and this is a communist system. So what the people want is, from the communist point of view, irrelevant. The party is in control. And Xi Jinping is in control of that party, and he's ruthless. So the COVID lockdowns, the zero COVID policy that they announced, was far less about stopping the spread of the disease and far more about asserting control over the Chinese people. So we have to recognize, of course, that this guy is a thug, Xi Jinping, and he's a very dangerous fellow and very dangerous for the United States as a consequence of that, because he sees himself in a very grandiose fashion, even greater than Mao Zedong, the greatest communist leader, of course, since the revolution in 1949.
The greatest, greatest meaning the worst. Yeah, so.
Yes, absolutely, meaning the worst. Yeah. So these guys are communists, and they take their ideology, Xi Jinping, like Mao Zedong, take it very seriously. So the tyranny that he's imposed, the genocide he's committing against Muslims in Xinjiang, and elsewhere in China, the crushing of Tibet, the crushing of human rights, religious liberty, of course, in the PRC is just par for the course for communist rule. So we don't want to trust him as far as we could throw him, right? So when it comes to trade agreements or other elements, we always want to be extremely suspicious that this guy is after us. He's our enemy, and we need to treat him as such.
Yeah.
That's a very important point.
Yes, and I want us to tackle that in a second. That's actually where I do want to lead up is to that trade agreement. But there are so many things inside the country here that they're involved in, and I know that we can't discuss all of these at length, so maybe just a comment from you, or two. I mean, not going to hold you to one comment, but just an addressing of these in a brief way. Like inside the country, they're wreaking havoc. And of course, that story about the crop poison, the agroterrorism that just came out a few days ago, was one of the worst. In fact, this is Kevin Cork from Fox News, and this is something that they discovered, a lab in California. Let's listen to clip four.
According to that House Committee report released again today, thousands of vials of biological substances, including some labeled HIV and others found in a freezer marked Ebola, were found inside a secret Chinese-owned bio lab in the state of California, which, according to investigators, inexplicably, the CDC and the FBI initially refused to investigate. The illegal lab was operated in the city of Reedley, California. That's just southeast of Fresno. In its 42-page report, the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, which launched its own investigation into the matter back in September, detailed some shocking findings, including, as you pointed out, the discovery of several potentially infectious agents at the lab, including SARS, chlamydia, HIV, E. coli, hepatitis B and C, dengue, rubella, and malaria. In July, under a court order, this is really interesting, under a court order, local officials contracted a hazardous waste removal and the destruction of about 140 tons of lab equipment and 440 gallons of medical and biological waste found at that site. And perhaps most shocking of all, the CDC, according to lawmakers, refused to even test samples of those unlabeled vials at all, even after the city promised to pay for it all. Lastly, a Chinese national who entered this country from Canada using a false name and ID has, Will, been arrested.
Okay, so I think he's referring in that last phrase to the couple that were introducing fungus to the crops, and that was something they were bringing in. But I had not heard, Brad, except from Kevin, that story. I mean, that's an act of war. How could that be anything other than an act of war to do that? It's in California.
Yes, and it may not be the only one. And we also want to keep in mind Biden's open border policy, where tens of thousands of Chinese individuals, including some certainly who are part of the Chinese military and intelligence service, entered the United States. So there may be many tens of thousands of Chinese agents in the United States. There are biological weapons laboratories like Reedley, like that. That was certainly one. And again, we should suspect that there are others. So Xi Jinping has already put if you will, muscle into the United States to harm us. In addition, your audience may remember the Salt Volt typhoon reports of last year, where the PRC had penetrated our telecommunication networks, right?
Oh.
And our electrical grid and our water supplies. So there's the ability to hurt us using cyber means, and that has hurt us by damaging our economy, by turning off the electricity, of course, and our water supply. So they're preparing a battlefield, if you will, to act against the United States. And Trump, of course, is well aware of this and is, you know, obviously has to take many measures to reverse the damage that the Biden administration caused. But it's a cause of great concern.
On those Chinese military men, I talked about that a lot on my show because I remember seeing in San Diego, for instance, these boats ramming up to, this is in a neighborhood. Yeah, they're on the ocean. These boats, small boats, like they have maybe 10 people in them, ramming up to the shore, and all of these men scrambling out and scrambling up this ravine, a short ravine, but a ravine, going into a neighborhood, people with like baby carriages, like watching this, and these military age, obviously Chinese military age men jumping into these black SUVs and whisked away. Now, I guess the thing I want to ask you, Brad, because I don't know if anybody knows, is anybody trying to find them? Where in the world did they go? How can we, I mean, is anybody on that particular issue?
Well, it's a terrible vulnerability that Biden gave the Trump administration, again, through the open borders policy. So we don't know how many individuals came in, and we don't know where they are, but I'm sure the Trump administration, through the FBI, through DHS and other actors, are doing what they can do to find them. But they should have never been in the country in the first place. Biden did that. And now we have to potentially incur the costs of them, and those costs might be horrific. So Xi Jinping, we talked about ideology, they want to harm us greatly, and he's got capabilities now, which is why he's an existential threat. His capabilities have even increased due to, you know, these divisions of young men, military age men who've come into the country, the cyber attacks that he's launching against us, interference in our allies' election, for example, in South Korea, which had its presidential election, where there was certainly communist Chinese influence in that election, threats against Taiwan, threats against the Philippines. So it never ends, right? It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what he's telling us is he's giving us a lot of empirical evidence that he's gunning for us, mm-hmm. right? Every day we're getting some information about how deep and how broad this threat is. And thankfully, President Trump is in office and is taking some measures against it. But the audience must be aware of this and appreciate how great a danger this is to us.
Yeah. And one thing, too, is that, of course, communists work through trouble. Rahm Emanuel famously once said, you know, never waste a good crisis. Well, that's straight from, I think, Alinsky, or it's from a communist teaching that you always, you know, if it's an earthquake, a natural disaster, a riot, a union walkout, whatever problem comes into a country, jump in there, stir up trouble, turn people against each other, and use it as a way to take power. I've said that many times at this mic. I want to say it again. So that makes me wonder. We're talking about all those groups that are involved in the riots in L.A., Bradley, and I just wonder. I remember seeing Chinese nationals in those riots after President Trump was elected. That terrible summer of 2020, when they set the church on fire, St. John's, and they were, Black Lives Matter and others were, not just them, Antifa, were in the streets, and they were basically rioting. And I remember seeing a glimpse of a couple of Chinese nationals. Okay, that's anecdotal, but what do you think or suspect their involvement would be in these riots in L.A.?
Well, I'm certainly there would be, their involvement would be present. I think as you know, the theme of one of our themes of our conversation today is that these guys are communists, and we want to remember Lenin's idea of revolutionary defeatism, right, where he said the worse the better. Right? He wanted the Tsar's government or the provisional government to suffer and to be as bad as possible and the Russian people to suffer because that made it better for him, made it more likely that he was going to seize power and that the old regime was going to fall. So we want to keep that idea in mind when we're thinking about fentanyl and other opioids, including even ones that are even more dangerous than fentanyl coming into the country, about these riots, for example, where there's certainly going to be their involvement, about other forms of rioting or protests that may be occurring, and the military age men as well as the cyber attacks, right? All of those are a way of causing trouble in the United States, which is what they want to do, because at the end of the day, they want to destroy the United States as the vibrant, the beacon of liberty, the beacon of freedom in international politics. So they understand what's at stake.
Yeah.
And they're playing for it.
And we should add, you know, fentanyl with hundreds of thousands of people dying every year from fentanyl overdose, and that's coming from China. All right, so I don't know if we've painted a bleak enough picture. Maybe we should add universities, students stealing our technology and our secrets, and the list goes on. It'd be interesting to know what you think about this, Brad. Gordon Chang, who I'm sure is someone that, well, we both respect, and he has said to me on more than one occasion that he believes the Chinese don't want to destroy America. They want our land. They want to replace us with them. And I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that. It would be interesting to know.
Well, I think what they want to do is the United States is the only barrier to communist China dominating the world, right? We are a threat to communist China, not because of our military capabilities, although there's certainly that element, not because of our economy, but because of our freedoms, because we offer a political system which is superior to communist China's. So they want to destroy us in their effort to ensure their control over global politics. The United States is that target which has to be eliminated. So we need to understand the stakes that they want to destroy the U.S. as a functioning society. And they're doing everything that they can do short of kinetic war to accomplish that. Those are the stakes that are involved. And every American, Leon Trotsky had that line, probably apocryphal, but he's famous for at least being attributed to him. He said, "You may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you." And that's very important to keep in mind, right? Folks may not be aware of the threat from the Chinese Communist Party, but the Chinese Communist Party is interested in them, right? It's interested in remaking American society and eliminating it as the final barrier to their control. So those are the stakes, and it's time that, thankfully, with the Trump administration, we're beginning to respond to it. And much needs to be done to take advantage of their vulnerabilities, which are enormous. We have our problems, to be sure, but their problems are colossal. And they're colossal because communism is illegitimate. It's a political system that does not consult, does not interact, it does not seek a vote. It imposes itself on people. And because of that, it's illegitimate. And they know they're illegitimate, which explains a lot of their behavior and their hatred of the Chinese people, of course, and of Taiwan and of free peoples around the world. So we need to recognize that. And it's time to start going on the offense and start taking advantage of our great friends in the Chinese, with the Chinese people and people of goodwill around the world, to put the Communist Party on the back foot, calling them out as an illegitimate government and acting accordingly.
Okay, Brad, well, let me, we just, in fact, this isn't, this Bloomberg just reported this last night. President Trump and his team now are making a deal, we'll put that in quotes, with China. At least they're hoping to. And these talks have been going on. And so this is a very short clip. This is clip five. Let's hear what Bloomberg has to say yesterday.
President Trump says a trade deal with China is done. Trump says the U.S. will provide China what was agreed on in talks over the past 2 days in London. Trump added the deal is subject to Chinese President Xi's approval.
All right, that's Bloomberg. So here's the thing. Here's my question. This is not an easy one, Brad. Here we have this president who's a hawk on China, and yet he's intent on making a deal with China. I do kind of understand this, but I want to know what you think. I mean, is it even possible, and is it possible not to deal with them, given where we are militarily and given where they are? Do we have a choice but not to cooperate with them for the time being?
Well, President Trump is well aware of the threat, again, from the CCP. I see the trade deal as being a tactical arrangement, and in some respects like a pie crust, right, made to be broken. You can't trust the Chinese Communist Party at all. What President Trump is recognizing is that we need essentially those rare earths because we foolishly got rid of that capability in the United States. And that's necessary, of course, for the U.S. economy. And as a result of that, he's going to have to have some elements which are going to assist Xi Jinping in the short term. But this is not a stable agreement, and I don't think it's one which is going to I think when we look back on it in a year, we're going to say that it was very much a tactical one, driven by the necessities of U.S. firms, for example, and other actors globally on rare earths. So that's the way I see the agreement.
Yeah, you know, and I also, you know, you add to that that China, you know, had all of their cargo ships just rotting, that's an overstatement, but just sitting idle in these ports, and the tariffs of 125%, whatever it was killing them. So this is good for them, too. I mean, they can't, as wicked as they are, they cannot support their Belt and Road Initiative and their spies and their students and all of this if their economy just drains, if they can't sell their goods. So they need a lifeline, and we need to get a rare earth back into this country, which I think he's already working on, right? President Trump has someone doing that in Arizona, I think.
Yeah, so...
I think that's a good way of putting it, how you said it about, it's like a, what did you call it, this agreement?
Well, it's like a pie crust.
Yes, right? Okay.
A pie crust is made to be broken.
Right? Okay,
so, it's temporarily serving the interests of the United States and temporarily serving the interests of the PRC. But the PRC never keeps their agreements, so... Remember, there was the cyber agreement that Obama reached where they pledged to restrain it, not to conduct, right? That didn't last, of course, as we've seen with most recently with Salt Typhoon and other attacks. There were other agreements on trade. There were agreements on human rights. There was an agreement on Hong Kong, for example, they signed with the British.
Yeah.
But they crushed Hong Kong, right? So They won't abide by any agreement they sign, and it's important for for everyone, the audience, of course, to recognize that that's the case. Trump, of course, is doing what he can we outsourced everything, and now we got to bring it back, and it's going to take time. I think Americans understand that, and they're doing everything that they can do to lend a hand to bring back the manufacturing skills that we need to have and the capabilities that we need to have, and to end that horrible period that we had in our history where we thought we weren't going to have to make anything anymore. And by sending it all to our greatest adversary, right, we made our adversary so much stronger as a consequence. So that foolishness is ending. Thankfully, President Trump is putting an end to it.
Yeah, I'm thankful too, Bradley. And I really appreciate your experience and your wisdom today, because I think you did explain to my listeners and to me also, even further, why we have to play with them right now. We have to. We have to build up our military and get ourselves ready so that we're up to the task, really, fighting them. Because if they fought us now, we would not win, would we?
Well, I think I think we want to recognize they still have tremendous problems in their economy, and that's driven by communism at the end of the day, and that's not going to change as long as the Chinese communists are in power. So they have tremendous economic vulnerabilities that we need to keep in mind. With respect to the military balance, of course, there's cause for great concern. For example, their capabilities around Taiwan have increased. They're regularly exercising and flexing their muscles around Taiwan as well as in the South China Sea against the Japanese. So it's a very dangerous situation. We have so much work to do and with respect to our military, but as you led with Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth's remarks, that's well aware, and Hegseth is doing what he can do to restore really a spirit of the American military as well as American capabilities. And so there's cause for, of course, appreciation for his great efforts in
Absolutely.
That regard.
Absolutely. Hey, this is a PS that's kind of off topic, but I just have to ask you before you go. I'm really confused about where we stand with the Panama Canal. The Chinese, BlackRock was supposedly entering and buying those ports or the entry points that's to explain to everybody. Our trade goes through this canal that we built by the blood, sweat, and tears and death of thousands of Americans. Jimmy Carter gave it to the Chinese, that waterway that's so important to trade and commerce for the United States. And so, and then entered the Chinese. They have actually taken control of it. And so President Trump set about to stop that. But the last thing I heard, Brad, was that BlackRock was going to step in and save the day. But then I heard that the Chinese are now reinserting themselves. What is the story there?
I think it's in abeyance. So this is an issue that has to be worked. I think it's the Chinese are reluctant to move ahead with Hutchinson Whampoa, which is kind of the runner of the canal. So it's a dangerous situation, and I think it's going to take a little bit more U.S. pressure to ensure that a non-CCP entity runs the canal. Your point's exactly right. We should have never allowed the Chinese to take control over the canal, but de facto we did. And it's all part of what Jim Fennell and I call in our book, Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure. We call it threat deflation, where year after year we always underestimated the threat from the People's Republic of China until Trump, right, who saw it realistically and saw it for the threat that it is.
Absolutely. So, Brad, let me just again, since you mentioned it, commend your books, Understanding the China Threat and Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure. So, Brad, thanks. Brad Thayer, we do appreciate Bradley Thayer. Thank you so much for your time today, sir. And we just appreciate your wisdom and your input. And we'll talk to you again soon, I hope. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
The FDA finally approved the French abortion pill, and again, there's two pills. They okayed the first one, mifepristone, for chemical abortions up to 7 weeks. Later, that was extended to 10 weeks under Barack Obama. And then under Joe Biden, they opened the door to the FDA approving of mifepristone prescriptions online, through the mail, and without any kind of supervision. And the Supreme Court upheld that unanimous ruling just in 2024. It really is despicable. I'm telling you, it is despicable, given the number of injuries, 10% or so of women who have these chemical abortions, not to mention the loss of life, the trauma of delivering at home. It is a disgraceful thing that our country has done. But Preborn is trying to provide a redemptive way to stop it. They have a pill that can actually reverse that first pill. And the first one is mifepristone. So if a mother has second thoughts when she takes that first pill, if she gets to a Preborn clinic, they can stop that. But if she takes the second pill, which expels the baby, it's too late. And that's why we're trying to educate women, not educate. I hate that. Just really too sterile. We're trying to move their hearts by showing them their baby in utero through ultrasound. That's what Preborn does. That's the emotional trigger, which is genuine and real from the heart of God. That's a baby. And when women see that, they don't take these abortion pills. It stops it before it begins. But both things have to be addressed, and that's what Preborn does. If you would like to help, it's $28 for one ultrasound. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And please make your most generous donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, we've had a pretty thorough discussion with Bradley Thayer, and I really enjoyed it. I hope you did too. But I want to play something before we say goodbye today. We've talked about the dangers of China. I think we've made that thoroughly clear. But I heard a report from Mike Emanuel on Fox. Now, nothing wrong with what Mike said, except listen for the ending, because it kind of is relevant to what the point we were trying to make today. This is clip two, Fox News, Mike Emanuel.
Two Chinese nationals are facing charges for allegedly smuggling a dangerous fungus into America. Prosecutors say it's a potential agro-terrorism weapon that could be toxic for crops like wheat, barley, and rice. It can also cause vomiting, liver damage, and reproductive defects in humans and livestock.
Agroterrorism, bioterrorism, thankfully so rare, but you know, requires constant vigilance to ensure that it stays rare.
According to the complaint, customs officials found the fungus stashed in the backpack of a Chinese man traveling through Detroit Metropolitan Airport. The man told officials he wanted to conduct research on it at the University of Michigan, where his girlfriend worked. A deeper search revealed a document titled 2018 Plant Pathogen Warfare Under Changing Climate Conditions on the man's cell phone. A later search of his girlfriend's phone uncovered a form describing her membership in the Chinese Communist Party. That prompted the FBI's involvement. Director Kash Patel tells Fox News in part, quote, "Smuggling a known agro-terrorism agent into the U.S. is not just a violation of law, it's a direct threat to national security." Meanwhile, experts say it's still too early to call this a threat.
Yes, this is a plant pathogen, but it's also one that is distributed globally. The problem is that it could be a little bit different to what we already have here, and that's why it should have been brought in under regulated permits.
In a statement, the University of Michigan says it is cooperating with law enforcement and says it has not received any funding from China's government in relation to these individuals. In Washington, Mike Emanuel, Fox 4 News.
All right, my point is, experts say, Mike is quoting, experts say it's too early to call it a threat. It's just too early. Well, it can't possibly be a threat. These pathogens in their backpack can't possibly. It's just too early to say it's a threat. I think it's not too early to say that it's a threat. We know exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to kill us. It is terrorism in our on our soil, and so it is a threat. And now we have to keep that in mind as we watch the headlines unfold. Well, I want to thank you for listening today, and I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.